My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, eh?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
You know, it's possible that a good number of our listeners are not familiar with that skit. Yeah. At this point in time in the year 2024, yeah. Highly recommend. If it's available, Saturday Night Live is not always easy. Even when I told you with Peacock, okay, this is great. I'm going to keep Peacock because I can watch every episode of SNL. I can go pick my favorites. Problem is what? If it involves music, it very well might not be there.
Yeah.
Because of copyright stuff. So a lot of famous skits are not available even when you subscribe to Peacock. But I don't know about that one. I can't think of any.
I don't know if there was a music. One. Yeah. Like
that's our music, yeah. in the bit. Like, in the
I'm assuming John Belushi imitating Joe Cocker. That's probably not on Peacock.
Not to mention any musical act, which are so famous as well. Right. But yeah, you might be right about that. But that one's really funny.
Blues Brothers, probably not there.
Sal Capaccio is there, though. As always, on the Wester Hotline in Pittsburgh, where the Bills will practice with the Steelers tomorrow and then eventually play the Steelers on the weekend. Where is Pittsburgh for you, Sal, on your list or your rank of destinations in the NFL?
I don't think the stadium's that great. So from that standpoint, it's pretty far down.
Mm-hmm.
I think the city is pretty darn cool, though. I like Pittsburgh. I like downtown Pittsburgh. Been here even outside of football games, and it's a really cool city to kind of just bump around. They got a lot going on here, so I think from that standpoint, I like it. It's probably middle of the pack, I guess, overall, because it's also it's not a place that some of these places you only go once every 8 years, right? Something like that. This is a place I've been. The Bills have been here before, preseason, regular season. So from that standpoint, it loses a little luster, but I think it's a cool city to visit.
You know, for a long time, the Bills had only a few games with the Steelers. Like in the drought, there isn't much Steelers, and it's not good what there is, you know? But one such game came up in our conversations yesterday, the Chris Gregg game. As you might call it.
Sure.
But, I mean, the Bills have really kind of taken over the rivalry with the Steelers. You know, Sunday night games and now the playoffs. And even with Steeler teams that have been good, and it's annoying because we think they're really not good, but they get to the playoffs, you know, Buffalo has given them a pretty
tough
time.
That's right. It being a really tough place to go play, I feel like, has kind of gone away since they went there on that Sunday night when they won the when they made the playoffs that was 2019, right?
Yep.
Tre'Davious White with a big interception in the end zone. That was Mason Rudolph, I think, if I remember right.
I think it was Duck Hodges.
Okay. I think that might even be that, yeah, that's a right. better one. Yeah. I feel like since then, like, Matt Barkley swirling his big parka to the stick song Renegade, right? I feel like that just that's it. The mystique is gone. Like when we were younger, like the Kelly Bills had a hell of a time at Three Rivers playing the Steelers.
Never won.
No.
Well, that and that Sunday night game too. This is good. I remember how excited I was. We had the clip from Al Michaels calling that game of Allen throwing a touchdown pass, I think, to Tyler Croft. And we're playing Al Michaels' voice on a Bills game. I'm like, I can't believe this is real. I mean, you know, me with him. And it's, yeah. that's a few years ago. Now it's kind of been pretty normal.
Right. But now you just call him up when we're going to get him on the show.
Yeah, now I'll just text him. So anyway.
And then, if you guys remember, the following year was the COVID year, and they played in Buffalo, and that's Taron Johnson pick six on Ben Roethlisberger, and the Bills kind of dominated that game as well. Right, so yeah, the Bills just kind of have had their way
there was
with
that,
the Steelers in that regard.
There was that clumsy opening day where they lost.
That's the right.
block punt
yes,
in there. That's
yes,
a, that,
yes.
that might be the only Steelers win since that Duck Hodges game with the stick song that I'm referencing.
Yeah, the Bills have not been
I think so. And
back to Pittsburgh since that Sunday night, I think.
No, right, I think maybe a preseason, but I have to go back and look. But
yeah,
I'll tell you guys
preseason,
this.
Yes. Preseason, yes.
Yeah, they were there last year.
I'll tell you the you're talking about Three Rivers and the old Bills, and yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about that, but for some reason, I don't know why, I just started thinking yesterday morning about the Bills winning here in the playoffs with, like, Frank Reich and, like, coming here, and I know they lost here in the playoffs, too, and it was the week after the comeback game. I went on YouTube to kind of look that up a little bit, you know, and just kind of the, and then, so when I got here, so we fly in today, and I fly in the charter with the team, and the airport, you have to kind of, it's like a good 20-minute drive, but we had to go right down by the river. So my buddy Bill Whippert, who, you know, photographer you guys know, was sitting behind me, and I said, Bill, I think Three Rivers Stadium was right here, right? So we were looking on the map like, oh, yeah, it's right over here. We were kind of doing the whole thing, and I'd never been to Three Rivers, and Bill had many times, and I'd never been to Three Rivers. So it was a really kind of cool trip in just to kind of think about all that stuff.
I went to one of those Monday night road games that the Bills got crushed in with Kelly. They lost 10 of 11 to Pittsburgh between that playoff win with Reich and this Sunday night game from 2019. They had only beaten them once in 11 matchups over those, 18 years or 15 years or so, whatever that is. Well, none of these games more important than this one on Saturday, I think you'll agree, as Ben DiNucci and the Bills take on whoever and the Steelers. Joint practices, Sal. So this is our annual week to talk about the merits of these joint practices. There are plenty of them around the league this week. Minnesota's in Cleveland. I guess that's not going well for the Vikings necessarily. Tennessee and Seattle, Arizona and Indianapolis, this one. Are you a proponent of practicing in August against another team?
It would depend. I do generally think it's very beneficial, yes. I think you have to have the right circumstances and the right respect for one another to do it right. I think the Bills kind of feel the same way, which is why the only time in this regime they've done it is with the Carolina Panthers when Bean and McDermott had been there just a few years removed. And here against Mike Tomlin, who Sean McDermott and Mike Tomlin, former teammates in college, they have a lot of respect for one another. I think you got to have the right circumstance. I think it could be very beneficial and you need it. And like Mike, to me, even to give some more perspective on this, I would prefer more controlled scrimmages than preseason games. I see the value in preseason games of, hey, it's a game, you know, 30 seconds getting in and out of the huddle, you're in a game environment coming out of the tunnel. I understand all that. I like that you can put players in positions that you need to see them, where you can do it A, in a controlled scrimmage, or B, in a controlled practice like they're going to have, where they will do some scrimmaging. So yes, I'm a proponent for this. What I don't love to see is all the nonsense that goes on and the fighting and people getting hurt. It just takes away from the timing, right? But how do you control that? I don't know if you do. You just have to have the right circumstances and people that you trust to do it with.
You know, you just tripped a wire with this controlled scrimmage point you're making, because I wonder if a part of that, Sal, now you'd have to take some steps as far as footage being, you know, people being able to film it and that kind of thing. Like, how much of the reason that teams are vanilla in the preseason is because they don't want their opponents to see what they're doing? If you're practicing with a team that's not on your schedule, like the Steelers, and you have a controlled scrimmage, wouldn't you feel like, provided you can, you know, satisfy the no one is filming this thing, and I don't know how cumbersome a thing that would be, you could probably do your real stuff. Right, and then like get work in that could be really helpful, because you're scared of everybody seeing it when you play in the preseason. The games are on TV. Like, this would be almost in private. The only people seeing it would be you and the team you're scrimmaging.
It's a great point. I think you could probably do more, but Bulldog, as you know, I know, you guys all know, this is a league of a lot of paranoia, and it does not matter, right? You're just thinking, someone's getting it, and I can't reveal it. I can't show it. What happens if this, you know, what happens about these guys who are going to get cut, go to this other team, and they're there, or some coach or whatever leaves? Like, there's a lot of that. Plus, yeah. I think you're still at this point in time, still kind of installing some stuff. You don't have all your full stuff in. But yeah, I do think you could have more of a of an opportunity to do things like that. And the difference, so fans know listening, is when we say controlled scrimmage, it's because you script things. So if you go to a preseason game, you don't know what's going to happen. It's first down and 10, you get 6 yards, it's second down and 4. What you can do in a controlled scrimmage and in a practice, what they're going to do, I'm assuming tomorrow in some capacity, is, hey coach, let's just do red zone work here. Let's do a third down period. We're going to look at 10 third and 7 plays. Next, we're going to look at 10 red zone plays. Let's do 10 goal line plays. Like, you can put them in that situation so you can script what you specifically want to look at.
Sure. And if you, you know, have a good working relationship with the coach and the staff at the other team, be like, "Hey, look, we want to work on plays where defenses do this to us. So, you know, do 100%. This and like what and you know, you got to be payback there. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Like, what do you need me to do for you?" And that kind of thing, where in a game, you're just really not going to get that kind of opportunity.
That's right. And in fact, I'll be interested to see how they run this tomorrow. I think, if I remember right, back in Carolina, there were 2 days there, by the way, in Carolina, so I had a little more time. But I think if I remember correctly, you did have like the Bills starting offense against the kind of scout team for the second team for the Panthers, and they would run those kinds of things. But then you went ones-on-ones, you did what you did. Right. So you're not showing a different look. You're showing, you know, what you do. So, yeah, I think there's opportunity for that. The other thing is the one-on-ones will be really interesting. I look forward. That's one of the things I really look forward to in these practices. I want to see, you know, George Pickens go against Kyrie Elam. Like, okay, let's see what Kyrie Elam's got here. He's been going against the same receivers every day since OTAs and minicamp and training camp. He kind of knows them. He knows what their get-off is. What's he going to do against this guy? Those are the things that I'm going to look for.
Love that. And that gets pretty real. Like, those guys are going to want to beat each other. You know, you have the occasional skirmish at, you know, your own practices. It's still intense, I know, but this is maybe a level up.
For sure. And not just, obviously, DBs and receivers. What about, you know, pass rushers and I mean, TJ Watt, right? Or whoever it is, you're going against your tackles. Like, those are really cool situations that you can, you know, kind of see where these guys are. And you're right, Mike, like, that's real stuff. That's, you're putting stuff on film, and the coaches are going to see it, and they're going to see how you react in those situations and whether you win, whether you lose, and how everything goes.
With Sal Capaccio from Pittsburgh, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here, WGR. So no news today, right? No update on Matt Milano or other players?
No, Sean McDermott did not speak to the media today. Bobby Babich did. He was asked about Matt Milano. He deferred to Sean, which is standard operating procedure. The head coach talks about injuries, not the assistant coaches. So we haven't heard from Sean. We are scheduled to hear from Sean at 1 p.m. tomorrow ahead of the practice, and then I would think we'd get some sort of update on Matt Milano. Otherwise, no new news, no new roster moves or anything like that with the Bills today.
And tomorrow, the practice is in the afternoon. Then they're everybody have Friday off then before the game Saturday? Is that the plan? Or is there like something that's not open?
The team will have some sort of practice slash walkthrough. Like, the team will do something on a Friday. But no media. Like, I won't have an opportunity to cover it. There'll be no media availability or access to that. I'll have to look at the schedule if any coach even talks on a Friday. I'm not even sure if that's the case. But Friday will just be, yes, like a player's – it'll be a day off from that sense, but they'll still have plenty of things. They'll have meetings, mm-hmm. you know, in offense and defense, and they'll have some sort of walkthrough. And then Saturday will be your normal game day routine for a night game.
You know, Sal, I want to ask this partly because I missed a week last week, but camp and then into these practices in Orchard Park and now Pittsburgh, has it been a good camp or a good practice season for the Bills? And how would you measure that? I'm on podcasts and trying to read up on individual players and fantasy and everything. Like, this guy has had a good camp. I read somewhere somebody wrote that they didn't think James Cook had a good camp. You know, like, team-wise, what have we got? There are injuries, too, but not like there's no J.J. McCarthy. That was in a game anyway. You know what I mean? So it's relative. How would you sort of big picture this?
It's really interesting. I mean, because you could always look at it a couple different ways. We've had this debate over the years. If the offense looks good, what is the defense then? If the defense looks good, what about the offense? I like when both sides get wins. To me, that's good. That's that each side is challenging each other. Each side's winning the day a little bit here and there. You're going to have some victories by the offense, some victories by the defense. I like that. From that sense, I think it was a good camp. Jeremy and Joe were talking about this last week, and I thought it was so right. It was just kind of funny that, like, back in the, you know, mid-2000s, you'd come to training camp and there might be one throw from a quarterback in the Bills. You're like, oh, did you see that one throw he made today? And, like, Josh Allen does that 15 times a day, right?
Right.
So that's the difference now watching this team from back then. And, like, so to me, like, you're getting that. It's good because that's Josh. And Josh is making those throws. And every day you saw a highlight reel play from Josh Allen to Keon Coleman or Curtis Samuel making one. But every day you saw the defense make some plays as well. So I think from that standpoint, it's been good. I think from a Von Miller and Matt Milano, obviously the latest news notwithstanding, we don't know yet. From that standpoint, it's been good. We have had some injuries here, you know, a little bit later, and obviously there have been some other ones like Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards. But from the standpoint of just kind of defense and offense and winning and what you're watching out there, like knowing that, yeah, every day Josh is making all these great throws and, you know, 10 years ago, you'd be like, oh, man, that one pass he made, I'm just going to savor that for the next 10 weeks.
Do you, by the way, and thank you for that, do you have a particular opinion on Cook?
I do not think he had. I think he had an underwhelming camp, yes. I would say this, though, and I said this after the first week. I thought the first team defense was excellent against the run. And that might be part of it, right? Like, maybe James Cook is just having nowhere to go. He broke off a few runs here or there. He dropped passes. He dropped another one at practice yesterday. That's something that's concerning. He's put the ball on the ground. Last year, I remember saying to Joe, every day James Cook's breaking off a big run. Like, this guy, like, he gets to the edge and bam, he's gone. It's amazing. And, you know, he turned into a really great season. I didn't see that as much this year. He had a few here and there. I'd say he's had an underwhelming camp, but I've been very impressed with the run defense. I think that Ed Oliver was superb this camp. I think that Greg Rousseau was really good this camp. I think Matt Milano to the ball again, Terrell Bernard. So I don't think it's that easy to do against this defense either.
Couple of follow-ups on Cook for me here. Does he look at all different? Like, more weight, less weight? Like, did anything change with him physically that you know of?
No, I remember in OTAs and minicamp maybe thinking he looked a little thicker, but it wasn't like bad thick, right? Like, he might have got a little bulkier up top.
Right, yeah, I'm not asking,
like,
if he's
think
fat.
Necessarily,
I
mean, now.
Just wondering if he added muscle or anything.
Yeah. No, I don't. I do remember thinking that, though. I think in OTAs and minicamp, Bulldog, which is I thought that maybe he got a little thicker, yeah.
The other thing is, you just mentioned it, like, he's dropping the ball. Like, I think... the average Bills fan or even NFL fan who watched the Bills last year with any kind of regularity, or maybe they had Cook in fantasy or something, so they're aware of Cook, the question with him would be the drops, right? The fumbles, but really dropping passes. And that would be a thing you'd be looking for in camp to see if he's, you know, rectifying. Yeah. And it sounds like that has not happened. Like, if you were hoping that was going to go away and improve, it really has not.
for me, I just thought it was, okay, these things happen. Like, he'll be better. Mm-hmm. He was known as a good pass catcher. They're going to use him that way. Not sure what the issue was, but, yeah, that hasn't changed. It is preseason. It is training camp. It needs to be better, though. Like, he has an opportunity here to be a really dynamic dual threat. And, you know, he's not helping himself, and he's not helping the Buffalo Bills if he's not catching the football. He had a few too many of those last year, and a couple of them hurt him. The Eagles game was a real tough one. You know, you get that one early in the game. He catches that against the Eagles. That's a great way to start the game, and you can't go back to that play. Once you do it once, they know it. They're looking for it. Like, you get that one shot right there. The Cowboys game, he dropped one for a touchdown, but it didn't matter, right? I mean, they still wound up, you know, running them out of the building anyway. It didn't matter, but those are plays you can't make mistakes on when you get that one opportunity.
Cook himself, otherwise, had a monster game against Dallas.
He did.
So not like what they're calling Keenan Allen thick at this point, Bulldog. Apparently, he's up to 230. Hey, I know a program. He's 211, a 20-pound summer slim down. If anybody can get in touch with Keenan Allen, I don't know. Sorry to joke about that. Maybe it's a good thing, but Albert Breer said he was up to 230.
Yeah.
And someone else tweeted, like, Claypool is one of two receivers in the NFL that heavy. Like, you don't have 230-pound wide receivers very often, so maybe that's not great. All right, Sal, well, is there a dinner thread? I mean, I would think.
There's not a ton of media here yet. A lot of people are coming either tonight or tomorrow morning.
That's drivable.
But, yeah, I'll still head out a little bit tonight to get something to eat with a few of the folks. I think I was talking about Bill and I. We might get together and do that. He told me Springsteen's in town tomorrow night, maybe. Here. I didn't realize
that.
Wow,
dude.
I saw Springsteen like in Tampa like 20 years ago. So, you know, it's something to do. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here. Paul Skeens is pitching Friday night here in Pittsburgh.
All right. They're on the road now, today must be getaway day. They're in San Diego right now playing. But, yeah, they'll be at home with Skeens.
Oh, my goodness. How lucky is this?
That I feel like, yeah. I mean, listen, I love Springsteen. That's close. I want to do
Springsteen versus Skeens, tale of the tape.
I want to do both of those things.
You can. Maybe if it's Thursday, Friday. Yeah. You could do both.
I think that's what it is.
Today's only Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sal. You got room in your hotel room? I'm coming down.
I do, buddy. Get here, buddy. For what? 3.5 hours. You're here.
Yeah.
Very makeable drive. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
There you go. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Love the drive to Pittsburgh. Easy, fast. Once you make the turn at Erie, it's fast.
Yeah, it is.
And it's pretty.
And then, there it is. And there's also a moment where you're on the highway, I don't know, 15 miles outside the city and like come around a bend and like there's the city.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a makeable drive. These guys, buddies of mine, have me going to Webster for golf on Saturday morning, and the tee time is 7 o'clock. I'd rather just drive to Pittsburgh. Like, I need to leave now to get to Webster in time to play golf on Saturday. What time am I getting up? I mean, how much time do you give yourself? I should ask you after the break. How much time do you give yourself in the morning to prepare to go play golf?
I need at least an hour.
Breakfast, coffee, bathroom.
Right.
You know, whatever else, shower.
Bathroom
right?
Again. No shower, usually.
After golf.
After golf, because you know, it's going to get hot. But
yeah, that means I'm getting up at 4
yeah.
on Saturday. What is this?
Good luck with that.
I'll need it.
Yeah.
4 a.m. I must love it. We'll have the update and talk some more. Earlier, we're talking about the Diggs trade and how you think you're going to decide whether it worked out. What goes into that? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.